I'm Kat from Vermont, and you're listening to the Hood Rat Recap Podcast.
In the window of the storefront, there's a mugshot for a manhunt, and those cakes all decorated with cartoons. Pinatas shaped like parrots, secrets leaking from the gas tanks.
We got bored, so we started a podcast about the best bar band in the land, man. This is the Hood Rat Recap, and we are back. We are your steady stream of the unified scene, all the news and reviews. Hello, everybody. This is Stage Right Mike on the mic. I thought I'd not get involved and stay in St. Paul. And as always, I am joined by the Unified Scene's very own King of Queens, Gasper. Gasper, how you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good, Mike. Unfortunately, Kevin is whenever is not doing so good. He's under the weather and can't join us today for our special flashcast today. So we hope he gets better. But why don't you tell everyone what we're going to be talking about today?
We are talking about Understudies today. It was a new release. We weren't sure if they were going to release a third single before the album was released. I voted yes. I think you and Kevin voted no. So
yeah, man, you guys, we took our vote. Mike got it right. Me and Kevin got it wrong. And I think we all were wrong on the track they picked. I think we all kind of thought, well, you and I thought it was going to be Carlos Is Crying. I think Kevin went with Grand Junction, if I remember correctly. But they drew us a curveball.
Yeah, we got something called Understudies, and so I think you said, I agree with you, you said you listened to it 1,000 times, I've listened to 1,000 times. What's your initial thoughts on this song, Gasper?
I mean, I love it. I love it in a different way than I love the other songs. Off the bat, I got very early Stay Positive vibes, not musically, but lyrically. The talk about the actor and the gaffer and like that very technical performance stuff. You see that all over Stay Positive. And the funk feel, like, can we talk about the funk feel for a second? Like, that's new to us, right? That we have not seen that in the whole study before, to my recollection.
Yeah, it was a little, I got a little funk feel, a little like kind of when Steely Dan tries to get a little funky, maybe a little bit like that. It's my favorite kind of Craig, when it's call and response Craig, where, you know, I kind of beat poetry Craig, where he kind of lays out some tracks and then the music follows him, which I really enjoy. I think the first three lines, it was funny, the first time I heard it, I go, what are we going to hear, like a musical, because when he's like in the window of the storefront, there's a mugshot for a manhunt. He kind of sounds like, when you're flipping through the cable and you come on this old movie and you're like, oh, watch this. And you're like, oh, why is this guy talking to himself? Oh, now he's starting to rhyme. And you're like, oh, I'm watching a musical. So it's like the first three lines kind of reminded me of that, as like he's breaking into a musical or something. Yeah. And then I also got some, my favorite song off, Thrashing Through the Passion is, The Stove and the Toaster. And, I kind of got some vibes off that too, from, you know, I guess cause he was saying the actor and the, gaffer here, and kind of sounded like the chef and the chauffeur is what it kind of sounded like on the Stove and the Toaster.
Right, we have our ambiguous pairing basically in the song. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Before we jump into the lyrics, I just, like, how much of the funk feel do you think comes from Steve, now knowing that, like, that's, he had said that's more his wheelhouse?
Just releasing a side product, the Mem Mods, and, you know, I've been listening to that lately, and this sounded, there's some notes that sounded like it was just right off it, so I thought it was heavily influenced. I really heard Steve a lot in this track.
Right, and, dude, it's nice to see Galen featured on a track. Like, you don't get that very often either. Like, it's cool to see the bass in the forefront.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. That was kind of that funk. I really enjoyed the funk feel of it all. Yeah.
So now to dive into the lyrics, which I think, like, it's where we'll spend most of our time. So yeah, the first time I listened to the song through, those first two verses, like, they hit me a little bit different. Like, it just seems like setup of scene and all that. And we're at this bakery, and then we shift to the show, right? And we get into our characters. But after going back to it a couple of times, like, I feel like there's double meaning there. To start off with, he talks about the, you know, there's a window of the storefront where there's a mugshot for the manhunt, which is a wanted flyer, right? Like, and listening to it the second time around, it's, I think he's kind of painting like, this is the seedier part of town. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't the bakery on Main Street. This might be the bakery on the side street in the neighborhood you don't necessarily go to unless it's a really good bakery, right? Mm-hmm. And I just kind of want to point out the twisting up balloons line. So the first time listening through, like, I'm envisioning this bakery and they also have their party stuff and balloons and the helium tanks. And but then knowing what's going to happen later in the song, he says secrets leaking through the gas tanks. And in the back, they were twisting up balloons, which that may be different than just making party balloons, right? Because, like, if this is Coke we're talking about, Coke gets served in balloons, or at least it did at one point. So I kind of wonder if that's what we're touching on there, and it's like almost foreshadowing.
I agree with you on most of that. I think they were taking nitrous hits, and because that's why he says secrets leaking from the gas tanks. They're twisting up balloons. You know, Shane, obviously this store has balloons because, you know, he's just kind of painting a picture there. They're a bakery that also has balloons.
Okay.
But that was, so you think it was Coke? I thought it was all nitrous because, that's interesting.
Well, yeah. The reason I'm on that line of like Coke or something like that is because we know at the end of the song, our two characters, the actor and the gaffer, go missing. So usually on a drug thing, like if you're going missing, we're either talking about an overdose here or we're talking about like they're just so baked that they miss work. But the fact that you're missing two and no one's answering their phones, like, I kind of feel like they might have died.
That's, yeah, and see, this is funny, that's how I read it, like, I was reading that if you have a nitrous overdose, I mean, basically you can't overdose, basically you just don't wake up, you know, you aspirate because you OD on it or whatever. So okay. that's what I was taking it as. Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah.
So where was your first indication in the song that, like, there's something more seedy going on, there's something more, like, not legit going on?
I think it's towards the end. I really like, okay, so it's this line. He says, the bakery is a business that's pretty unsuspecting. They're busy on the third shift. Who knows, you know, bakeries aren't busy on the third shift.
Right.
And the doors are always open. And then it says the actor and the gaffer, they enter through the kitchen. When the baker sees them coming, he starts taking off his apron. So that's, I think Craig's pointing a really good picture there of like when, you know, how it looks like when they come in and, you know, how they can probably give each other a head nod or whatever.
When the stagehand hits the curtain, it's exciting when you're working. You get to be a different person. But later when it's over and they're sweeping up the lobby and you're still on that wavelength, and it's sometimes hard to shake it. The bakery's a business that's pretty unsuspecting. They're busy on the third shift, and the doors are always open. The actor and the gaffer, they enter through the kitchen.
So for me, and I don't know if it's because, like, I've read a lot into these lyrics. Like, I feel like on this particular song, I'm like, what does this line mean? What does that line mean? And he says, and the diamond in his tie pin was blinking like an isolated neutron. Like, it was a weird detail to point out. And it just kind of, I felt like he's making a point about pointing out something about the character. Like, there's another part to him. And it's, I got that, like, whole 70s, like, Coke scene in my head from that line. I think that's part of what's putting me on the whole Coke thing. But
so you're team Coke and I'm team nitrous.
Exactly. We're gonna have to ask Craig what he was thinking.
So obviously I think we're both on the same, you know, like, it sounds like this bakery's got something going on in the third shift early morning. And then I like the whole thing about, you know, and then kind of gets the seedy part to it is, where's the 4 a.m. line? No, I lost it here.
Oh, that's the chorus. That's, and if 4 a.m. is the nighttime of the morning, it's hard to get to sleep after performing.
Yeah, so that line right there, I was kind of looking that up. There's a lot of writers write about 4 a.m. in literature, and there's a lot of poems about it and stuff. And I think that's what's really interesting, especially since this takes place in a bakery. I mean, the thing about what's weird about 4 a.m. is, like, you know, we know a ton of people that get up at 5, like a baker may get up at, you know, have to start work at 5. And then we know a lot of people coming home from the bars, coming home from after bars, getting home at 3 in the morning. 4 is always right in the middle there.
At 4 a.m. is the nighttime or the morning. It's hard to get to sleep after performing. When a star is born, the habit begins forming. It's hard to get to sleep after...
Nathaniel Hawthorne wrote On the Most Haunting Hour. He wrote at 4 a.m. He wrote, yesterday was already vanished among the shadows of the past. Tomorrow has not yet emerged from the future. You have found an intermediate space. So, there's a lot of writers that write around 4 a.m. You can look it up. It's just a crazy... It's kind of where bad things happen, you know? So... And one more. I was looking, you know, he said the scarecrow. So he goes, and the scarecrow stepped on set. He stumbled and recovered. So I'm like, is this actor playing? Why did he say scarecrow? And then I looked up famous plays that would have a scarecrow theme. And I came, and this, see if this reminds you of Craig at all. I came across this. It's called The Happy Scarecrow. And it says, The Happy Scarecrow has been referred to as a delightful morality play about giving. It has become not only a popular content play, but also a favorite play for the Easter season because of the subtle hint of the Easter story. But we've never known Craig to write about Easter before, have we?
That's an interesting point, and it kind of plays into my next point of, like, so the Easter story is... It's a cycle, right? Like, it's every year we go from Lent to Easter and then back around again and then back to Lent and Easter. And it's that death and rebirth that you see in a lot of religions. And one of the things that struck me about this song, particularly in the perspective of the, you know, what we know of the album so far, is there's a secular thing to this song, right? So, like, we get introduced to this actor who's like, this is his moment and he's performing, but he also tells us that, like, there's something in the boredom of waiting for all this to happen where, you know, things happen, and now as the star is born, the habit starts forming. And so then we go with the actor and the gaffer out to go to the bakery, and something bad happens, and now they have to call in the understudies, and this is now the understudies moment. And the song ends on that chorus of, like, so here's the star is born again and the habit's forming, and it's like it's all starting again. And when you think about that, and you think about the other songs that we've heard, like, it's also there, right? Like, there's, so in Sixers we have that cycle, right? Like, he starts with she's watching basketball, she hears the guy, she wants to go meet the guy, it doesn't work out, you know, she meets the new fiance, and now she's back to watching basketball, and, like, the cycle begins again. He's not there anymore. And also kind of in Sideways Skull. Like, and it took me a second to kind of realize it, but, like, in Sideways Skull, we're meeting, the narrator's introducing us to this character who's, like, she's a little off. She's talking about this band that she's in that doesn't really exist, and, like, all these big plans she has. But the song ends where he's telling us about his band and how they're so well-known and they're a big deal. But then you got to remember, like, he's in the halfway house too, right? So, so it's like, again, it's another cycle. Like, I wonder if that's going to be a thing on this record. Like, if that's an underlying theme.
Yeah, and I think it really comes through in this song, Understudies, because, like you said, the new guy comes and they say that he does the job and he doesn't have the danger, which means, like, he's not addicted to anything, so he seems pretty reliable. But then you're right, they go right into the chorus every time a star is born, and it's the cycle starts over again. So, yeah.
Right. Now, where do you see this song falling into, like, its place in the Hold Steady universe?
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see where it fits in live. Is that what you mean? I mean,
well, Kevin brought up a good point of, like, so they're playing the Weekenders right now and it's not showing up on the set list, which is interesting because you're releasing this song just prior to the release of the record. It kind of made me wonder, like, I like the song. And like I said, I like it in a different way than I like Sideways Skull. I could see Sideways Skull being a song I want to hear on a Massive Nights at least once. You know what I mean? With this song, it is a great song. It's a great song to me in the way, Cutters was a great song. But like songs like Cutters, songs like Oaks, like all these different songs that we don't hear very often, they become the songs that the fans are like, how come you don't play this anymore? I want to hear it. Like, do you see it becoming one of those?
So you're saying they're not playing it yet. Maybe they're not yet ready to start slipping soft rock into the set list yet. Maybe that's it.
I think it's going to be not one of the songs they play very often. You know what I mean? Like, I do think the fans are going to receive it well, but I think it's going to become one of those tracks that you kind of seek after hearing, you know?
Yeah, you could be right, but the first time I heard Unpleasant Breakfast, I go, well, this song, we'll probably never hear it again. This is going to get buried under, you know, we'll probably never hear it live. It'd probably just be a deep album cut, you know? So
really?
I was wrong on that, yeah.
I kind of, from the beginning, was like, this is going to be a huge live show, just because of that woo part, you know? Like, before I knew it was a keyboard part, I'm like, people are going to want to do the woo part. And regardless, they still want to do the woo part, you know? Like,
yeah, I love the song the first time I heard it. I just thought, I go, this might not fit, you know, into their live sets. But yeah, so and I was wrong there, obviously. So yeah, it's interesting that they haven't been playing it this weekend. I guess I didn't look. But I do remember seeing the set list. It wasn't on there. So, So we just talked about, you know, Open Door Policy, where they also released three songs. That's why I thought they might release three songs for this one. Out of those first three singles, Open Door Policy, compared to these first three singles, how do you think they compare?
On Open Door Policy, like Family Farm, I was on board right away. I think that's a very easy song to jump onto. And everyone's a huge fan of Lanyards. I like Lanyards. People like Lanyards way more than I do. But it's a very popular one. I felt like Spices when it first came out. I kind of at first did not think it was their best song, and then it changed for me. I think it's one of those songs that when you see it live, you're like, no, that's a great song. So, I mean, we kind of have that here. These are three very different songs. Subway Skull is the easy one to get into. It's a banger. People are gonna love it. We liked Sixers. It is a very different song. It's a slower song. And then this one, I didn't mention, but like, I like it, you like it. Kevin's not a fan of this, which is fine. It's, you know, you can't love every song. But I also think that it may be one of those ones that when you see it live, it'll be different, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think they kind of match up.
Yeah, I think they always come up with a big rocking single. Like, I think Family Farm and Sideways Skull are very similar to me. And I think they're pretty similar in quality to me. And then last time they came out with Spices, and now they came out with Sixers. I guess they can come out with the two S songs, right? I was the opposite of you. I just love Spices. It might be my favorite song on the album. It hit me right away. I thought it had a very Lifter Polar feel to it. And then I like Sixers fine too. It's really good. And then, you know, and then we had Lanyards was the third song last time. And then we have Understudies this time. And boy, they're both really strong story songs. And yeah, I don't know if I could choose between them. They're both really good. So yeah, I think it's very comparable. Yeah.
I mean, all in all, I think this is going to be a great record. At this point, we have three quarters of the record, right? We've either heard it live or we have studio versions of the songs. So not a lot of surprises left. Although there was a song that popped up, I want to say, on some of the in-stores that they were playing overseas that people have been talking about online called Death of a Punchline. I don't know anything about it. I don't know what it sounds like, but people like the response is the same. Like, this needs to be on the record. Please tell me it's a secret track.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see where that shows up.
It could be the next Adderall, the next secret track left off, yeah.
I mean, I'm jealous. I want to hear it now, you know, but that's
yeah,
what
me
happens,
too.
That the FOMO is real.
Then the people in the theater stand up and start to clap, try to take this whole thing back. But the night is just beginning for the actor and the gaffer. He's taken off his makeup. And they meet up by the back door. And they
like I said, they've been playing these in-stores overseas. And one of the things that came out of those in-stores is Oaks is being played, which that's a rare one. That's one that's been mentioned on this show many times by various people as a song they'd love to hear again and haven't heard in a long time. I don't think I've heard it since the record was new. So that's encouraging that it's back. I'm kind of jealous that I didn't get to see that. So good on the people of the UK at the Weekenders. And speaking of the Weekenders, so we're going to be covering that next. We have, if you remember, Dallas was a guest on the show, good friend of the show, and he's coming back. He's been over there all weekend. And Rob, our friend from the UK, is going to be our local. So we're going to basically do like an out-of-towner and a local at the same time and get their perspective on the Weekender and have them recap it for us.
Oh, are you talking about our number one fan, Rob?
That's our number one fan, Rob. So in other news, they are playing a rough trade show in New York. I didn't think they would be, but that's April 5th, and I will be there. So I will bring you all the news that comes from that.
What about Austin? We had an Austin announcement.
Yeah, that's right. They did announce Austin. You going to that show, Mike?
I have to work a Morris Day and the Times concert that same day, so I was planning on going no matter what, but I promised my boss I would work Morris Day and the Time, and I owe her a lot, so I'm going to do that. I'll be doing the bird instead of down there in Austin, yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool, though, man.
I know you, know ya. Yeah, what?
What the hell are you singing?
You don't know Jungle Love? That shit is the Mad Notes, written by God herself and handed down to the greatest band in the world, the motherfucking Time.
You mean the guys in that Prince movie?
Yeah, Purple Rain.
80s style.
Hey, you never say an unkind word about the Time.
All right, so just a couple other quick things I wanted to mention. So Bobby Drake's birthday is March 24th. I don't think we're going to have an episode out in time with that, so just want to take a minute to wish Bobby a happy birthday a little early. And of course we have the record coming out March 31st. We're very excited for it. We'll definitely pop on to do something for that, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was hopefully we can do an instant flash episode on that. I was hoping too.
All right, so in lieu of Kevin, who couldn't be here with us today, we just want to thank you all for listening. And if you like what you're hearing and you want to help us out, please subscribe. Please follow us on our social media and check us out. Mike, why don't you tell them a little bit about SpeakPipe?
Yeah, and if you look us up on SpeakPipe on our Facebook page, you can always click the link there and leave us a little voicemail. You can tell us what we got wrong. I know I was making fun of musicals again, so I know some of our regular listeners are going to get a little upset with me, and I think I know you know who that is. And but yeah, you can give us a comment, you can give us a trivia question, you can give us your wrong lyrics that you mixed up from the Hold Steady. Yeah, just go to SpeakPipe on Facebook, and you might hear yourself on the air.
All right, and if you're looking for the SpeakPipe, our social media, or any of these episodes, you do want to subscribe to us, please check out our Linktree. It's linktr.ee/thehoodratrecap. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for us today on this Flashcast. Thank you very much for joining us. Kev, I hope you feel better. And I'm Gasper, that's Mike, and us guys, and all you guys, we are all the Hood Rat Recap.
The Killer Party Song's coming.